Only the world would know the power that is in that name, the name above every name, Jesus. Number 16, He is our wonderful, merciful Savior.
You are the one that we praise. You are.
Good morning. Good to see everyone here today on this is Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit was poured out over 2,000 years ago. So we thank God for the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Without Him, we would be in very bad place, but He lives within us. So a couple announcements here, as usual, before we go on with our service. This Sunday and next, if you'd take a couple minutes on your way out, there is a POWMIA, Missing in Action, display in the social hall. It'll be here today and next week. Next Sunday, we'll actually have the reading that goes with it in the bulletin. But certainly, we think about all of our veterans and servicemen and women, and those missing in action especially. The Vacation Bible School coming very soon, 2 weeks from tomorrow. No, 1 week from tomorrow. Get my dates straight. So if you signed up for snacks, remember what you signed up for to bring. Also the offerings, if you've read that part, maybe you haven't, but the evening offerings, I've stated, will be going towards Tyler and Kylie Hollinsworth regarding their little one, Oliver, who spent the first month of his life in the NICU. We all know medical expenses can be great, even with insurance. So as well, the Sunday morning offering, usually that we've given to the Children's Miracle Network in previous years. Well, we thought, what a better little guy that needs a miracle, too, in his life. So all the offerings will go to help them with expenses. So remember also the summer worship schedule. We don't change service time until that Sunday after Vacation Bible School program. So that will be June 13th that day. The flooring project, we're hoping to start that after VBS is over. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex to get names if you're willing to help with whatever it might be. The reason we're asking for names again is we don't know how the timing of this is all going to go. So when it happens, we'll try to, if we need three or four people, we'll call through the list and see if we can get those people to come on that day. And that's about all the warning you'll probably get. So if you're not able, then we'll go on to the next one. So please remember that after church today. Lots of other announcements. Please read them as you have time. That's why we have our bulletins, right? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. What a beautiful morning you've given us. The dew on the grass. You've blessed us with some moisture this last week, which we are so grateful and thankful for. Father, above that, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that was poured out on that day of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. As your followers were praying in that upper room, the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them. And so you have done it all through the ages as we receive you into our lives, Jesus, as you become our Lord and Savior and you fill us with the Holy Spirit and you live within us. How amazing that is that we, as human beings, could be the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Not our own. We have been bought with a price. And so we are here to honor you. We are here to present ourselves before you this day as living sacrifices. Thank you for filling us afresh with your Spirit as we come to worship you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is with joy and excitement in our hearts that we do that today and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's stand together, please. Our opening hymn will be Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, a beautiful hymn of the church. Thank you. Amen. Don't you love that hymn? I sure do. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. In his name, amen. Well, before you're seated, greet one another as you're comfortable, and then we'll have the joys and concerns. Okay. Good to see everybody here. I have quite a list of things in my bulletin here, of prayers. I'll start with some joys first here. So we have 23 of our high school boys and girls, actually, that are going to the state tournament in track this coming weekend. That's quite a bunch, isn't it? From our church, we have Weston Fryer and Austin Pillsbury, who are going in the, medley relay, right? Okay. We have Kaylee Derby, who's going in, I think, the medley relay and the 4x4 relay. And if there's any others that I'm missing, you let me know. That's just from our church. So we'll be praying for them, that they do their very best there. Also, wonderful, I see Idella Herbolt's daughter, Nancy, and husband, Greg, from all the way from Rhode Island here. So welcome to you guys. Wonderful to have you. Yes, and Idella too. Amen. That's exciting. So some other things. If you're on the prayer chain, you probably know this. Frieda Nuss did pass away this last week, Thursday morning. It was. Her funeral service will be tomorrow here at 2:00 in the afternoon. So things are happening a little bit different than we're used to. There will be no visitation on Sunday evening. The visitation will be before the service, starting actually at 11:00 in the morning, from 11:00 all the way to the service. The other change, there won't be lunch after the service. That will be during this visitation time, between 11 and 2:00. There'll be sandwiches and some fruit, I believe. You don't have to bring cakes, desserts, or you don't have to bring anything except yourselves. So that will happen before, all right? So prayers for them. Also, prayers for Terry and Fred Seiler. Had a very unexpected thing this last week. Terry's son, Chris, who was 39 years old, passed away unexpectedly on Wednesday, that was. And so that funeral is pending still at this time. But just be praying for them. Chris had lived with Fred and Terry there. Also, continued prayers for Milo Hauk. Yesterday was his 81st birthday, by the way. He has been in McKinnon Hospital since Monday and still is. Just a difficult situation. That's really all I can say regarding the prostate cancer. Had a very difficult through the night last night. So be praying for Milo and Marilee both. Also for Catherine Friesen, Idol is her married name. She's in the Aberdeen Hospital, has been most of the week. She had a foot surgery some months back, and there's just been ongoing complications that have gotten more serious here this week. Let me see. Galen Guth Miller, he was on his bicycle and got hit by a car this last week, Thursday, and he is up at McKinnon as well. Had surgery to repair some broken vertebrae in the neck, and I think there's some broken ribs. Prayers for him. Prayers for Phyllis Whale. That's Jennifer Masterson's mother, Randy's wife. She as well is at McKinnon. And that's another very difficult situation happening. So there is much to pray for. Ann Ramus's mom is in the Scotland Hospital, right? No. Oh, she is at home. Okay, sorry, I missed that. She did spend some days in the Scotland Hospital. Okay, Marge Seiler. So, anything else that you might have over here? Okay, Well, before I go to the other side, I have to say the lady running our projector today, Jamie Kazurik, it is her birthday. So happy birthday, Jamie. Thanks for doing that. How about on this side? Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful, beautiful morning, Lord. For the joys of the high school students that are going to the state track meet from here and other schools too. It's an exciting time. We ask your blessing upon them and those skills and abilities that you put within them. Help them to run and throw and jump, whatever it is, to the best of those abilities. We thank you for birthdays today. Jamie and I think Aiden Friesen's birthday is today too. We just lift these up, Father, and ask you to bless them. We thank you for the joy of having Nancy and Greg with us here from Rhode Island to be with Idella. What a special week they've been having. Lord, for the other things I mentioned, we thank you that for Frida, she's there with you. And I'm sure what a glorious time she is having. We pray for the family, June and Dave and Landon and the Cricks and all the family, Lord. And thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And for Fred and Terry Seiler at the unexpected passing of Chris, Lord, as well, we lift them up to you. And thank you, Lord, that because of Jesus, we can know where our home is, that we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope, for we have the hope of eternal life that comes to us through Christ alone. We pray, Lord, for these that are up in Sioux Falls in the hospital. Milo, difficult situation going on there. Thank you for the wisdom to the doctors, for him and for Phyllis Whale, Lord. Another difficult place. And Galen, an unfortunate accident. We pray for these, Lord, and all the other names listed in our bulletin. You know them each. And we thank you for the work you are doing within their lives and in their physical bodies. We lift up Marge Seiler and thank you for being with her during this time. We pray for healing there. Lord, for the beautiful shower of rain. Some got more than others, as is usually the case. And we just trust you for the right amounts through this season of planting and growing and just refreshing to the pastures and lawns and all of your creation, the fields. So we rejoice in that. We pray, Lord, for our nation. As always, we ask for you to pour out your Spirit upon us, to bring healing, to bring revival. We pray for the nation of Israel and all that's happening over there with Israel and the Palestinians and that situation. And your word says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so we do. Lord, we thank you for our troops that serve so faithfully here at home and abroad. For those that are yet missing in action, we pray for them, those families, Lord. Keep all of our troops safe. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from John chapter 16, verse 7. This is on the night before the cross. Jesus ministering to his disciples, and he said to them, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor," that's the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And he did, and we get to live in the joy of his presence every day. We'll sing the Lord's Prayer this morning in place of the doxology, so if you want to stand, please. Thank you. thank you, Father. Yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Thank you that you fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Your miracle-working power is within us, dunamis, as we call it, as you called it in the Greek. And Lord, let us live and let us realize and be aware of your wonderful presence every moment of every day. So we give, Lord, out of thanksgiving to you. We have so much to praise you for. We thank you for it again and again. Let these gifts be used to proclaim your gospel, the gospel message that Jesus Christ, you are Lord of all, Lord of heaven and earth. And we bow our hearts and our heads and our knees before you in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess now our faith before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. When the children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time. One thing I forgot to mention while the kids are coming is thanks for your prayers for Shirley Mettler, too, who spent some days in the Yankton Hospital, but is doing much better.
I'm going to stand, yeah. Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you all. How are you doing today? Good. Did you enjoy the summer days of no school, right? Okay, good. All right. We do have church, and isn't that awesome? And we have Vacation Bible School coming up, and that's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Well, who were the first people that God made? Adam and Eve, right. And remember, they sinned, right? And so they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and things changed. But they had two sons. Anybody know their names? Cain and Abel. They were Adam and Eve's first children, the boys. And Cain was like a farmer. So he grew vegetables and things, and that's what he did. But Abel was a shepherd. And so he took care of the sheep, right? Yeah, you might have to sit up higher. I don't know. This is probably too high when I do it. Anyway, so they were both raised, and they knew about God because, you know what, their parents were the ones, Adam and Eve, and they walked with God, remember? So they knew all about God, and God had rules and things and ways to bring your sacrifices. So when they came to bring their sacrifices to God in praise and worship, Cain brought his vegetables and his things that he grew. He brought that to give to God. And Abel, though, he killed one of his lambs, and he brought that. And it says in the Bible in Genesis that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, the lamb that was killed, but he didn't accept Cain's. And you know what? That made Cain really mad. See how mad he is? This is Cain. He is pretty mad. But you know what? He knew what he was supposed to do. He was raised with the same faith that Abel did, and they knew what to do and how to worship God and what God required. So God said to Cain, why are you so mad? It says here in Genesis chapter 4, it says, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. You know, when you get really mad, do you look like that sometimes? You don't get mad and look like that? Okay. We'll talk to your parents about that later if you get mad. Anyway, the Lord said to Cain in verse 6, why are you angry? Why is your face looking like that, so mad? If you do what's right, if you use your faith, you know what to do. If you do what's right, Cain, I'm giving you a chance here, God's saying. Do the right thing. Give the right sacrifice. Won't you be accepted? But if you don't do what's right, guess what? Sin is crouching at your door. Sin is ready, because if we don't believe God, if we don't have faith, if we do our own thing and don't care about God, guess what? We're going to sin. And this is what happened to him. He got mad. He had a choice. He could have repented and done the right thing and told God he was sorry, because God always gives us another chance. No, Cain didn't do that. Guess what he did? He got so mad. And look at his mad. He got so mad and it just bubbled over. And his brother Abel, he talked him into going out into the field. And guess what he did to his brother? He killed him. Look at his sin. His sin, he got so mad and so angry, he killed him. That's what happens when we get so mad sometimes. We do the wrong thing and we sin. And not only was Cain killed, but it also affected Abel's parents. Abel's parents were who? Adam and Eve. Their son was gone. He was dead. And their other, you know, so when we sin, it doesn't just affect us, you know, it affects other people. When we don't obey our parents and when we're not nice to our siblings, it affects everybody around us. But God always says, you know what? I'm giving you a chance here. Do what's right. The Holy Spirit lives in all of us. Do you ever, like, you're going to get really mad, but you have this little thought or feeling inside, and it says, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Forgive. Let it go. Don't get mad. Don't blow up. That's the Holy Spirit. He's telling you, do the right thing. Have faith, right? We have a choice. Cain had a choice. God even spoke to him to tell him, do the right thing, but he didn't. And his sin cost a lot of things. He had to leave his family, his parents. He had to go live on his own. And that's another whole story. But boys and girls, let's keep our faith, right? Let's do the right thing. Let's believe what God says he's told us to do. And let's be a blessing, all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word that tells us how to behave, how to act, how to have faith, how to come to you when we do the wrong thing, to ask for repentance, and to show you to clean us and to show us what to do and the right thing. Help these boys and girls in these summer weeks to be doing the right thing in all their sports and whatever things they're doing this summer. Help them to make good choices. You live inside of them. Help us all to remember that. We're never alone. Help these kids to be a blessing to wherever they go, to let your light shine through them to others, to invite other kids to come next week to VBS so we can have a fun time in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Anne. We'll sing number 520, The Longer I Serve Him, The Sweeter He Grows. Since I gave my heart to Jesus. Yes, that's a good Gaither hymn right there. If you didn't know it, it sure is. Let's pray. And Father, yes, those words are so true. Our love for you grows each and every day, stronger and stronger. And the more we serve you, the sweeter your love grows. Your love actually towards us, we know, never changes. But on our end, we experience it in greater ways. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for your word that never changes. Your word that is forever settled in heaven. Your word that is alive and full of power. Able to discern between joints and marrows and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So thank you for working in us by the Holy Spirit of God and by your word, changing us day by day, conforming us more and more to your image, helping us to live for you. And I ask, Father, that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 11, we're going to read the first four verses here, and then we're going back to Genesis. If you were with us last Sunday, I actually read the first six verses. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. All right, Genesis chapter 4. So we got to find out about Abel and his brother Cain a little bit more. Genesis 4, verse 1. This is after the fall of man, after Adam and Eve were taken out of the Garden of Eden. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Amen. You can read the rest of the chapter later today. So, faith requires action, and it does. Those first verses of Hebrew, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Last week, if you were here, you saw Ann do the deal with the cake batter. It says this in verse 2 of Hebrews 11. It says, this is what the ancients were commended for. All these Old Testament patriarchs, what were they waiting for? One, they were waiting for the promised Messiah. Most of them who lived by faith never saw Jesus in the flesh. What else were they waiting for? They were waiting, as Hebrews 11 verse 10 says, they were looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. We're still waiting for that city yet today, the New Jerusalem as it comes. So by faith we live just as they did. And let's look at this here. Back, so Genesis, we're going to be going back and forth there between that and Hebrews 11. Chapter 4, of course, Adam lay with his wife and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a son. Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. So if you think about this, Cain and Abel were human beings number 3 and 4 on the planet, right? That's simple enough to figure out. However, I don't know if you've thought about this. So Cain and Abel were conceived outside of the Garden of Eden. So therefore, they were conceived in sin, just like all of us are. It had to be that way. Going up the whole to Jesus being born of a virgin had to be that way. Otherwise, he would have been born in sin, just like we are. So they were conceived outside the garden, outside the fall of man, born in sin, but yet they had the full capacities of human beings. Why am I saying that? Because they didn't evolve from an ape or anything like that. They weren't grunting around, whatever. They had the full capacities to farm, to have flocks, and to speak and everything, as we read in Scripture right here. So Abel kept the flocks. That doesn't just mean sheep. It means cattle, horses, all of livestock. That's what he did. Cain, however, worked the soil, farming. Of course, today, farming can mean working the livestock and the land, and generally does today. But here they were separate, all right? So let's look into this here, the results of Abel's faith. We're seeing, how do we live by faith? What did he do? So the 3 points really follow. Hebrews 11, verse 4, all 3 points are right there. First one, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. So what did he do? Back to Genesis. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. New Living, on that part it says that Abel brought several choice lambs from the best of his flock. As we think about these two guys, okay, they both came to worship. They did. But only one of them worships God in the appropriate way, and that was by faith. They both came to worship God. Only one of them came as they were directed. Well, how were they directed? That's what we're going to see here. If you think about this, so letter A, there apparently, it seems, there was a place already designed by God at this point where they were to come. It says, in the course of time, they came. Now this, as I read different commentaries on this, so where would that place most likely have been? It seems, at least the ones I read agree, it was on the east side of the Garden of Eden. Because if you'd go back to chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 24, it says this. This is after the fall. And God drove the man out, not in a car, drove the man out. He placed, out of the Garden of Eden, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden, cherubim. That's angels. Cherubim is plural. Angels, okay? Placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life, which was still, of course, in the Garden of Eden. So, what kind of picture would that leave to us? The cherubim, the flaming sword representing very likely the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. When do we see a flaming pillar of fire? As God brought the children of Israel out across the Red Sea, right? He had the flaming pillar of fire was there by night. The cloud was over them by day. That was the Shekinah glory of God. So here's this flaming sword. Here's these two cherubim. When else do we see two cherubim in the Old Testament regarding the place of worship? The Ark of the Covenant, which doesn't come down till Moses' time. On the Ark of the Covenant, on top was called the mercy seat. There were two angels facing each other, and there was the presence of God. So, it would seem to be that this place where they came to bring their offerings was here, just outside the Garden of Eden, where these two, doesn't say two, it says cherubim, means plural, angels were, and this flaming sword. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I think it is. So here they go, the place, the time. It says in the course of time. If you look at like New Living, it says at harvest time. All right, that would make sense for Cain to bring some of the fruit of the ground that he had worked, the produce, as his offering, wouldn't it? And what other feast in the Old Testament eventually came to be in the fall, the harvest time, was atonement. And atonement is blood covering over our sin. Through all of the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrifices covered our sins. The New Testament, after Christ, his blood cleanses us from all our sin. Yeah, so we see that. What about the sacrifice? That's letter C, the sacrifice. It says, and Abel offered God a better sacrifice. Okay, let's go back into the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, we're naked, right? They had not realized that ever before. We've got to cover ourselves. So they wanted to cover up their own sin. Does that work? Does not work. They sewed for themselves clothes out of fig leaves. So God deals with them. Where are you? So on. We come over to what? Verse 21 of chapter 3 of Genesis, and God is saying, no. That you can't cover your own sin. I'm going to make for you clothes, and he did, of animal skin, which meant the shedding of blood. And that animal that God took the life of to make their clothes, that was the first blood shed there. So that's the picture here. Don't you think that Adam and Eve, as Cain and Abel, after they were born and they're growing up, don't you think they would have told them all about the Garden of Eden? They could have even went to what was the entrance into the Garden of Eden. Look, boys, in there is what we had. Perfect. Walking with God. Full communication and fellowship with him. And hard to say, Adam might have said, but you know what? Your wife took that fruit. Your mother took that fruit, and she ate it, and she offered it to me. You know, that's sort of how that went when they sinned and God came to them and said, "Where are you? What have you done?" And the man says to God, "That's that woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit and I ate." And the woman says to God, "Well, it's that serpent. He came, the devil, and deceived me and I ate." And the passing of the blame. And we're so good at that even today, aren't we, in various situations. So they certainly had to tell these boys as they were growing up, look, this is how it was. This is what we enjoyed. We tried to make clothes for ourselves out of fig leaves. God said, no, blood has to be shed to cover the sin. That's what God's prescribed way is. They had certainly talked to Cain and Abel about all of that many, many, many times. So it was not like Abel didn't know what was supposed to happen. He knew. Got to remember that. He knew. But it says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice. By faith, what? How? In the revelation knowledge that Adam and Eve had told them, because they didn't have the written word of God. We do. We live by faith in the written word of God. He tells us what to do, how to live, how to act. Abel also, he acted in faith and obedience. There's a blank. Cain acted in disobedience, right? He did. So what in Cain, what do we see here? He thought, I'm going to approach God on my own terms. You know what? I don't have to bring an animal sacrifice. And I'm not going to. I'm going to do it my own way. And boy, do we see a lot of that going on, don't we? I'm going to do it my own way. I want to worship God however I want to worship and whatever I think he is. And you get all the thousands of false religions on the planet today. It's all started right here. Right here with this sin in the garden. I'm going to do it my own way. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to bring turnips and cabbage and whatever else. And as the saying goes, what? You can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. You know, I Googled that statement this week. I thought, I wonder if that's where that comes from. You know what? It does. Right here. Comes out of that. Now today, it's used in different ways. Sometimes somebody owes somebody a lot of money, and you know they don't have it. The statement might be made, well, I'm never going to get it back because you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, right? But in this case, God, his prescribed way, he ordered, declared, the sacrifice has to involve blood. Now, let me say this, God never accepted fruit or grain sacrifices? No, he did. If you read through Leviticus, you see there's grain offerings more than once at the appropriate time. For atonement, blood had to be shed. So, they're missing it. Abel acknowledged by offering the blood sacrifice, what's he doing? Saying, yeah, I am sinful, and I need blood to cover over my sin. I need a blood sacrifice. He's acknowledging that to God. Cain, nope, thought he could cover himself. So maybe you're thinking, maybe you're not. I'll tell you either way. Cain is mentioned in the New Testament more than once. Jude, the book of Jude, verse 11. Verse 11, it says, woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. Well, what way is that? Verse 8 of Jude says, in the very same way, these dreamers, he's talking about false teachers, they pollute their own bodies, they reject authority. That's what Cain was doing. Human being number 3 on the planet, rejecting God's authority and prescribed way. Okay, second. He was commended. Abel was commended as a righteous man by faith. Back to Hebrews 11, it says, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. Wow, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? God spoke well of his offering. How about God in the flesh? We think of that widow's mite, don't we? As Jesus was standing one day there by the treasury watching what was going in. People putting in lots of coins, making big clanks and everything. Oh, look at me. Here comes this widow's mite, puts in one little penny. Dink. And Jesus said, you know what? She gave all that she had. Anyway, that's not my sermon. Back to Genesis 4. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. She comes up with some good illustrations, doesn't she? With those kids. I didn't know what she was doing. I just saw the cookie sheet. I said, that looks interesting, dear. It was. Very good. Abel is commended as a righteous man because he's operating by faith. Okay, God, this is what you told my parents. This is what you showed them in the garden. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm bringing my offering to you. See how he offered a better sacrifice. I meant to say this back then. How do we do that today? There's many ways. What's that to us? Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and just, which is pleasing in his sight. That's one of the ways. We don't come with a blood sacrifice today. It'd be a little bit weird, right? If you had to put blood over the doorpost before you come in the church, don't do that. We'll take you somewhere else. Okay? Don't do that. No. Every day, Lord, thank you. It's a new day. Father, today I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. Work through me, live through me by your Spirit. That's the great sacrifice we give to him. Back to the second point, though, here. So this God, by faith, he was commended as righteous, in right standing before God because of the blood sacrifice that he brought. In the same way today, it is only because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we are declared righteous, in right standing before God. Nothing else, not by works, by faith alone. Romans 3:22, listen. This righteousness from God comes through faith, there it is, in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Well, what if I'm not good enough? Nobody is. Nobody is good enough. On our own, we are not. But by faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood poured out for us, we are washed and cleansed. And he declares you, if you are a believer in Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow. Praise the Lord for that. That's amazing, isn't it? So these offerings, remember where they're given? Very likely just outside of the Garden of Eden where the cherubim were guarding it, where the flaming sword flashing back and forth. And here's Cain. He's mad. Mad at God for not accepting his offering. Mad at his brother, Abel, because his was approved and Cain's wasn't. Mad. So if verse 16, which I didn't read that far in Genesis, it eventually says Cain went out from the Lord's presence. Dangerous place to be. Away from God's presence. And he lived in the land of Nod. Nod means the place of wandering. Away from God's presence. That's how all the false religions get going and all of that. God says to Cain, why? Cain, why? Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Listen, here's God's mercy in verse 6 and 7 of Genesis. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? God is merciful here. He's saying, Cain, look, this is why Abel's was accepted. This is why yours wasn't. This isn't a verse here, what I'm saying, okay? I think you realize that. But he could have said, go to your brother. Trade him, maybe. Trade some of your produce for a lamb. Something from his flock. Buy it from him. Bring it to me. If you do what's right, you'll be accepted. Cain's like, no. He's pouting now and he's very mad. No, not going to do it. But God says, if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you or to destroy you, but you must master it. Come before me in the proper way, God is saying. For us today, even in prayer, so often in our prayer groups, in our own prayer time, Ann and I, my own time, I will very often say, Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus, and I come before you through the blood of Jesus. That's the right that, I don't mean to say the right, the privilege that he gives us because of the blood of Jesus. We can come whenever we want before his throne. If you don't, sin's going to destroy you. Real quick, another place, third point short, okay? But this one, 1 John 3, let's say, if you don't obey, sin will destroy you. Here's another place, 1 John 3, where Cain is mentioned in the New Testament. It says this, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain. There it is. Who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Do you think we're going to see Cain in heaven? I don't think so. We've got two New Testament passages speaking not favorably about his life at all. God gives him the chance to repent and he doesn't. Don't be like your brother, like Cain who murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Third point, by faith he still speaks. Who? Abel. Wow, that's 6,000 years ago. By faith he still speaks. Verse 8, Genesis 4. Cain said to his brother, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Now watch, the first murder is going to lead to the first, well, it's going to lead him to lie, not the first lie. It's going to lead him to lie. God says, Cain, where is your brother? Remember a little bit ago, he's saying, why? Giving him a chance to repent. Now again, giving him a chance to repent. Where's your brother, Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Wow. To God? To God, the Father? That's his response? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, that phrase is still used today too, isn't it? Whew. That was pure sarcasm, disrespect, irreverent to God. The Lord says, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Could have been other things he was angry about. Maybe he's angry because there he's looked into the Garden of Eden and seen all the beauty and perfection of it. He's on the outside working the ground. What's he having to deal with in the ground? Weeds, thorns, thistles, none of that in the garden. At least there wasn't. He's probably angry about that. And so God says, because he wouldn't repent. Two chances God's giving him. Now you are under a curse, driven from the ground which opens its mouth to receive your brother's blood. And then it goes on. The farming. What was Cain's pride and joy? Farming. But he wasn't honoring God. So he said, it's no longer going to yield for you, Cain. How does Abel still speak to us today? He demonstrates the importance of faith. That's how. He's demonstrating the importance of faith by being obedient to God's word. Did he understand it all then? I'm sure he didn't. God showed him, though, there has to be the blood sacrifice. Parents, Adam and Eve, tell the boys, there has to be the blood sacrifice. Why, Dad? Well, I can't really explain it all to you yet. Maybe they could, I don't know. But even today, we have to be taught why. Faith takes God at his word, believes it so, and acts on it. And that's what we try to do. Do we understand it all? No, we don't. We act in faith and live by faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can come to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And help us to live by faith. There are certainly many things in your word we don't all quite get. We don't understand the why of this and that, but we see what you instruct us to do. Forgive us for times when we fail, as we all do, and give us strength and wisdom and courage to walk by faith in your word, serving you every day of our lives, because that is the victory that overcomes the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Faith is the victory. 727, that's that hymn. Let's stand as we sing it, please. Please receive the benediction, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his strength. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And we will sing God Bless America as a prayer for our nation. Thank you. may be seated. Thanks, Jennifer, for the music. Have a wonderful day. Remember, if you want to sign that sheet to help with the floor project, it's on the cabinet here in the narthex.